money's worth tonight, Andy. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We worship you. Oh, yeah. That's when I cry.
Amen. If you ever feel discouraged, feel like your life's in vain? I was fixing to say, man, sure, I'm preaching to myself. Let me just turn around here tonight. But it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to have mountaintops. You're going to have valleys. You're going to have peace. And you're going to have all hell break loose in your life. Did y'all check everybody for guns when they came in? That's why the good Lord put that verse in there that says, to dwell with all men peaceably, if possible. He knew there were some that you just can't get along with them. So you just smile, wave, bless you. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Bah humbug. Merry Christmas. Bah humbug. I'm not trying to be funny. It just happens to be that way. But you've got people all around you every day that some are Merry Christmas and others are Bah humbug. You don't know what my life's like. You don't know what I'm going through. If there's really a God, then why does he allow such and such to happen? Might have been some of them seeds you sowed. John chapter 4. I won't be long. I don't have a whole lot of voice. Y'all know I was down for 2 weeks sick. That doesn't happen very often. And I don't have really a good strong voice yet. I got that little tickle back there. And if I talk too much, I'm going to get to coughing. And Glenda's going to have to come finish. And Lord, y'all. She christened me up here a while ago. I don't know if y'all saw that. With her water bottles. Got me all wet, but. I'd ask her one night, I said, you know, Glenda, being a pastor's wife, won't you share something one night? She said, huh, Lord hadn't called me to preach. I said, well, you do a good job around here. I'm so glad she can take it, because she can dish it out too, let me tell you. John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea and he departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's about noon, as you know. The Jewish day started at 6 a.m. Okay. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered, and he said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says unto you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. That well, by the way, was 100 feet deep and is 9 foot wide. When it's deep, where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, and he said unto her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Mouthful right there. Springing up in him, springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And later on in the passage of Scripture, you'll find where many of those men believed on the Lord. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is very simple. Jesus came to planet Earth at Christmas by way of Bethlehem, Judea, born in a manger, came because of love, came on a mission to redeem mankind. We know that. That was his purpose. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the work of the evil one. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he's come to do. And he's good at it. And I want to just call to your attention tonight a few points about this woman. Won't be a very theological message tonight, but I want you to embrace the fact that the Lord will come to you. It may be in a jail cell. It may be at a rodeo. In my case, it was in the den of my home. Shoot, he'll even come to you in church. And he's come tonight to touch and to change some of the lives that are in this place. It's up to you. Thing is, see, he knows your past. Just like he told this woman, you've had five husbands. And the one that you're with now is not your husband. You're just shacking up. Kids nowadays will say he read her mail. The truth of the matter is he knows everything about every one of us in this place tonight. Good and bad, right and wrong, stuff that we want known and stuff that we don't want known. He knows. And he loves us anyway. My mind struggles if I let it become an intellectual thing. My mind struggles to grasp the reality of that kind of love. But, oh, there's that word. Because he stayed faithful to the mission for which he came, and because he died on Calvary's hill, validated that love by shedding the blood and dying. But I love the fact that he didn't stay dead. Easter Sunday morning, we talk about this every week here, praise the Lord. He walked out of a grave, is alive today. But it was love. Not because of us, but in spite of us, that drove him to the cross, made him stay faithful. Remember this, it says that while we were yet sinners, he loved us and gave himself for us. As we go through this holiday season and Christmas and all the joy and festive things that we'll be doing and way too much food and all that other stuff, let's don't drop the ball on remembering what we're even celebrating. But I might say this to you. It's almost impossible to disconnect the manger and the tomb. It's almost impossible to disassociate that barn and that cross. We talked last week briefly after David's show about when he was born, how they wrapped him in swaddling cloth. Study it. That's the kind of cloth that traditionally was used to wrap and embalm the dead. Even at his birth, that symbolically was saying, I've been born to die because of love. And because of the love, he offers forgiveness, just like this woman, who later on in the story, she and others from the town come back and believe on him. Tonight, forgiveness is available to you. That living water that he spoke about, that he would give and could give, for those that would call upon his name, for those that would ask, for those that would dare to believe, so that they could receive the greatest gift, whether it's Christmas gift or any other time of the year gift, but it's the gift of life that only comes by way of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our faith and trust and belief in him and confession of our sins and embracing the work that's already done. We don't have to do the work. All we have to do is receive the gift. And tonight, as simple as this message is, I can't help but encourage you to take a deep breath, to step back from the hustle and the bustle and the fun things that we'll be doing, and to give some of your time to meditation, to worship, and to just thanking the Lord for what he's done. It's just a simple challenge and exhortation to you tonight. Would you bow your head? I'm going to close. Maybe you're here tonight and you say,